and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And we have a guest today.
Yeah, we do. We are here back in the Sideshow Studios here at the Hollywood Improv, and we are taking advantage of the space.
While we still can.
Because, you know, we're not going to be here in this particular space much longer, but I wanted to have a good friend come join us and talk about comic books. We have Kevin Kraft.
Woohoo!
Yes, of the Mad Scientist Party Hour podcast. And we probably should have talked about this on the air or off the air, but Jason Ellis' show.
Yep.
Are you a part of that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a producer and also, you know, on-air lackey.
On-air lackey. Okay, so I didn't know if you're like just behind the scenes or if you're just doing stuff on air. I know you've boxed for him before.
Yeah, a couple of times. I actually just got my ass kicked a couple months ago in the ring.
The Jason L. Show on XM Sirius.
XM, yep.
Yeah, so so thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I
love talking comics.
Exactly. And I don't know
if you're going to feel that way after we talk.
No. Yeah, we're talking about Shitball Comics, which you I had the pleasure of hanging out on your podcast a couple months ago with Sideshow and Sideshow brother Steven Sadak of We Hate Movies, and we were just there, you know. And so I guess we're just there, and you just gave me a pile of comics.
We did
one on the show. It was stupid.
Yeah, that was a Goodwill bag.
That was a Goodwill. It was literally a bag full of that stuff. So, we'll get more into that. But I want to actually maybe just have people know more about yourself and more about the podcast you do.
Podcast is kind of just, I started it with the idea of it being kind of nerd centric, and then it kind of just transformed into its own thing where there's a lot of stories from my life. I go through a lot of weird, interesting things on my journeys.
Yeah.
And I've got like a little bit of a black cloud, like just the universe likes to align and take like little jabs at me that are, when you look back on them, kind of funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got gout because I kicked my couch playing Halo.
Oh.
I got Halo rage, kicked my couch, thought I was kicking a soft part, and I kicked a support beam.
Halo gout.
Halo 3 gout.
Wait, so yeah. I'm learning more about gout these days.
Well, as a man of a certain age, you're getting to a point where...
And I didn't realize you could get gout. Apparently, so you can get gout by not eating shitty, or by eating... Yeah, you can get gout by not eating shitty?
You can get gout multiple ways. Like, if you have a crappy diet or your body doesn't process certain types of food and it builds up a weird kind of acid, that'll crystallize and turn into gout if you're not very active. Or, what I learned the hard way, you can get it by kicking your couch. Blunt force trauma, like trauma to a joint, can cause, like, a collection of, like, crystallized cells or acid or something. Mm. Because when I kicked it, I was like, oh, that was stupid. Oh, that was fucking stupid. And it stuck with me. Like, I had never had an injury like that linger for so long.
Okay.
And it would come and go. Like, for a good couple months, it was brutal. And then it got better, and then it would just be, I'd have good days and bad days. And it must have been like 5 years later, I was at the doctor, and I was like, ah, shit, while I'm here, can you just x-ray my foot?
Yeah.
And he comes back in, and he's like, yeah, you see this like, foggy cloudiness right here in your big toe joint, that's gout.
Man. Gamer gout. That terrified. I'm terrified. I'm scared now.
Well, how often do you kick things?
No, but I'm incredibly clumsy.
Oh, well, that is absolutely 100% true.
I will barrel into things.
I'm surprised you made it here without falling down.
I'm surprised.
Like, every time you walk across a room and you don't fall down, I'm
surprised I'm not made of gout. I'm kind of scared about that. But so Mad Scientist Party Hour, it's on Riotcast, and you can also find it on iTunes and everywhere.
Yep.
And you guys have had on some great guests too, a lot of really fun, cool people. And I always tell people, you know, that sometimes I tell people, you know, my friends, to check out the show too, because you guys are really, I think you're really confident interviewers on that show.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't feel that way.
I don't
at
know.
All.
I this is the thing, because
I sweat the whole time. I'm like, but I'm like Chris Farley. Like, oh, remember when you did that thing? Oh, that was cool.
No, but I've been thinking, you've talked to some people, like, I feel like I've listened to, like, you know, Adrian Curry episodes, and I've heard you on with Chris Gore multiple times, and, you know, different people. And,
oh, yeah, I've had people on that I have no business interviewing. Like, I had James Gunn on before Guardians of the Galaxy, and TJ Miller.
Yeah, yeah, no, you guys have had on some luminaries, and but it's a lot. I think it's a lot of fun show.
Thanks, dude.
It's very unpredictable and it's very nerdy. So yeah. And is there anything else you want to say about it? I want to put you over as much as possible.
That's about it. Oh. Yeah, just tune in and hear the weirdness. Yeah. I suppose.
And you guys also did a podcast at a comic book store, much like ourselves too.
Yeah, we did our 100th episode from Golden Apple Comics.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
And it was really weird. That was the first and only time we've done a live show. I was super nervous. I forgot to print out the rundown. Okay. So start the show and I had no idea what I was doing. And then we ended up, my co-host Shuddy Boy, he ended up snorting a couple of lines of ramen powder off their display case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which kind of saved our flow.
And he's still alive?
Yeah, he was pretty stoked. Like he made the pain face. I'm like, wait, how is it? He's like, oh, it's delicious.
Hmm.
That's his actual voice, by the way. That's how Shuddy sounds.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. Actually, I was there. I don't know if I was there for the ramen. No, I was there for the ramen story because I was there because I came to see it, and I remember I bought a comic book there. I came home and I was like, Jen, I bought this issue of DC Comics' Sovereign. No, not Sovereign Seven. Team Seven. And it had Eclipse on the cover. I remember. I'm like John Cusack in like High Fidelity when he's putting his record collection together autobiographically, and he's like, "Well, I remember I got this here, and this is how I put this here." And I'm like, "That's how I remember comic books."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, "Well, I bought this when I was in New York City at the Book Off over in Midtown." This is true. And then I bought this at a couple weeks ago at Jeffrey's Comics in Gardena. So
I'm like that with I save my movie ticket stubs.
Mm.
Mm. I'm like that. Like I'll flip through them sometimes and be like, "Oh yeah, I remember doing that."
Yeah, I used to save ticket stub or not like my concert stubs, and I wish I saved all of them because sometimes I like to remember about shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember, like, who was that opening band that I saw? Because I want to know it all in my head so I can be like, man, I saw that band with this and this and this. Like, I could tell you I saw Disturbed when I Disturbed open for not only Danzig, but also for 6 Feet Under and, fuck, now I'm forgetting the other band. But it was like something that was like...
That's an odd bill.
Yeah, right?
Because it was right when The Sickness came out.
Oh, okay.
It was literally like The Sickness just came out in 2000, and I remember I actually have some good Disturbed stories that I met. Well, actually, it was just this one, but I met Dave Draymond, and I was like, "Hey, man," because I was at the time I was doing the radio show. I was doing my metal radio show in Buffalo, and I was like, "Hey, man, I'm the gatekeeper of Buffalo metal, so you should like come on my show," you know. And I was like, "Yeah," and I didn't know any better. But at the same time, I'm like, "Yo, you should come on my show." And he's like, "All right, well, let's set it up with you know." He was, you know, really nice, and he's actually a very nice guy.
Did he go on your show?
No. Well, I mean,
he's a sexual weirdo.
Well, that's that too. I mean, you could tell.
Were you going to interview him about being a sexual weirdo?
I was going to interview him about the podcast, about the record. And stuff, and then probably that would have came up and been like, "Hey man, what's it like being a rock star?" You know, because I was 20 and I was like, "Hey man, I'm so horny. Tell me things." You know, and he what ended up happening was like my show used to be on at midnight, like literally midnight on the East Coast on like Wednesdays, and they were like, "Yeah, he'll call in," and I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna do this because you know I believe what this record label person told me, and I'm gonna believe that a rock star, by Dave Draymond, who is to describe him in person, and I've heard this described him about him by other people, he's a very sensual man. Like, he's kind of like, he's very like, "Hey, I'm sensitive, but I've got like weird chin piercings and stuff, and I'm going to, you know, touch your hair and stuff, you know." It's kind of like that. You know, and his record shingle was called Intoxication Records.
What's your definition of sensual? If it's weird chin piercing,
does he move like Enchantress in Suicide Squad, where he kind of like invisible hula hoops over?
I think in his mind, that's what he's doing. I think that's how he feels. He's moving, even though he's not. Like he feels like his aura is moving towards. Like it's kind of like. For like a comic book version, like Shade the Changing Man, he's got this little monster behind him, and that's doing that. But he's like coming towards you.
Oh, I see.
I think when you just get like effortless butt for so long, it changes you. It changes your brain waves. It changes your behavior. It changes you like entirely as a person. Like the struggle is what keeps you grounded.
When you
lose that struggle, that's when you get like goofy chin piercings, and you know when you finish, you do the ooh.
Maybe that's that kind of guy. But yeah, he blew me off.
What a dick!
Shock of shocks. And then the next, because it was like one of those things. Well, where it was a band with the start to the letter D that was going to enter. That was on the third stage of Ozfest or second stage of Ozfest, and the brand new album, and they were going to blow up big. And they were going to do my show right before this, before they blew up big. And he ditched. And then the second year, I was going to interview Drowning Pool, who were also on the third small stage of Ozfest. And then they ditched, you know. And that happened. I had that kind of luck. Anyways, so speaking of...
I don't know how you're going to segue into that.
You said something about butt. How'd you say it?
Effortless butt.
Effortless butt. Speaking of effortless butt, let's talk about our comics.
I don't know about effortless butt.
Well, it's definitely effortless. I mean, there's less than...
Let's talk comics.
Because, I mean, speaking of butt and the opening line of Alpha Flight, they're dropping hemorrhoid jokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yep, yeah they sure are.
They're dropping H. So we're doing Alpha Flight. Alpha Flight, this is like the third time we've done Alpha Flight on the show.
You love Alpha Flight.
I do love
That's
Alpha
why
Flight.
We do a lot of it.
Alpha Flight, now, let me ask you this, Kevin. Do you have any experience with Alpha Flight?
Not a lot. I mean, I'm familiar with them. A lot of the information I got about Alpha Flight when I was a kid was those Marvel collector cards, which I was obsessed with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always find it weird when they have to give superheroes like a designated region.
Yeah.
Like Canada, like there's so much supervillain activity in Canada. They needed their own faction. And I always laugh at like the Daredevils and stuff. Like, they're covering three blocks of Manhattan, like defending Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, nobody cares about Uptown.
Yeah,
he's only doing that small part. The thing about Alpha Flight is that I was thinking about this today. Like, they only exist in Canada, and they usually don't have anything else to do with the Marvel Universe. I mean, they do stuff in the crossovers, like they'll show up in the Infinity crossovers and shit like that, and occasionally shit will happen with them in X-Men, you know. And in this issue, I mean, it gets, you know, they have that connection to Wolverine and everything with the Weapon X and everything, but it's just this weird shit going on in Canada, and like everybody else in the world is just like, yeah, that's cool. We're not worried about that.
Yeah, you handle those rogue Mounties up there.
Canada's weird.
But they're not worried about like the other villains. Like, you think there's some badass people up in Canada doing some stuff, and you know, how come nobody, like, how come Thanos ain't calling on those guys?
Maybe there's like an invisible force field where they can't get out of Canada, where it's just like, you know, kind of like Trump's wall. It's just there and you can't get away from it. Just bam, right into it.
Is Trump's wall invisible?
Apparently it is now. Oh. But like, seriously, like, maybe they can't come down. That's why nobody cares.
Yeah. So we're doing Alpha Flight, January number 116, from January 1993. So we're in the middle. This is our wheelhouse. This is like the 90s wheelhouse.
This is your wheelhouse.
And I'll say it's this thing. Alpha Flight's one of those. I'll just say this real quick. Alpha Flight's one of those books where if you go comic books, you know, hunting like we do, you'll go like, 'cause I want to collect all the Alpha Flights from this first series, and you will be like, oh, here's one. Okay, I'll add that to my pile. And then you'll find like 30. Mm-hmm. You can literally collect like Alpha Flight anywhere you go.
Yes. There's always
for cheap.
So many Alpha Flight.
Does eBay now being so prominent kind of take the fun out of comic book hunting, or do you just ignore eBay?
Oh, I just ignore
it completely.
I've only bought one thing from eBay, but primarily our comic book shopping is done if we go to just a store and
cons. It's more fun that way.
Yeah, no, I'm all, people are always like, why don't you just buy the comics like online? You can do that. It's like, no, but I want to find them.
Yeah.
I want to find
them. Yeah, you lose that thrill.
Yeah, we want the musty box in the corner that like nobody has touched in like 13 years. That's right where we're going.
Life is all about the small victories.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we come out covered in dust, and it's gross, and it's
we're fighting nerds for, you know,
bed bugs.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. Who knows what kind of stuff we've encountered?
Well, there was that one store we went to that was like very dusty.
Yeah,
where was it? Was down.
It was in Fountain Valley.
In Fountain Valley.
Oh, comic mites.
Yeah,
comic mites.
Dangerous.
So, it is called. So the story is called Extreme Prejudice Part 2.
Because it's the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Extreme, obviously written.
Parentheses, because it's the 90s.
And also because Alpha Flight hates black people.
Well, probably.
No, they have a black guy.
A black guy?
Yeah, he's under the hood.
Under the hood.
You can't tell.
The metal
that
helmet.
Makes it okay.
Yeah, he's there.
He's there. Just don't let anybody see him.
Yeah. So Alpha Flight, Extreme Prejudice. And so we're continuing from the last issue where there was an attack on Department H, where apparently that's where they live. And they have like Alpha Flight, which is the main team. And then there's Beta Flight, which is like the B team. And the B team got ambushed, and somebody got Mannequin, their teammate Mannequin, got fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they just had him at the hospital, and they're taking him out of the hospital, and everybody, you know, Canada's freaking the fuck out. And as they're walking out, we've got Heather Hudson here talking to Windshear, and she's like, and they're basically like, well, we gotta encounter the people.
Well, the press is all out there.
The press is out there, yeah. Like, you know, the Brian Mulroney's or whatever. I don't know any famous Canadian newscasters, except for Peter Jennings, but he was an American one. So,
Rick Moranis?
Yeah. Rick Moranis, yeah. He was a famous newscaster, Rick Moranis. That's what he's doing now. He hasn't been in any movies. He wasn't in the... He didn't even show up in
my first love.
Yeah, he's doing the local weather.
So they're all out there, and as they're walking out, Windshear's like, you ready for this?
And honestly, for the rest of this book, all I'm thinking is dun 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 the whole time.
I wish
it fits in perfectly with
it does
the atmosphere.
So she's walking out. They're walking out, and he's like, "You ready for this?" And she's like, "I'm ready for hemorrhoids." And he's like, "That's a spirit.
Suffered through those." End up.
Me too.
Had him. Got him.
Apparently Heather Hudson, she could deal with it too. You know, she's gonna.
Not Halo related though.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yep.
You didn't like sit on the controller and get hemorrhoids.
Nope. Too many salads. I'm just calling it there. Too many salads. Gotta eat like shit.
Too many salads.
Make sure you have a chemical based diet instead of.
I thought that's the inverse.
No, I was eating too healthy and it like my body wasn't ready for it.
Oh.
It was like, what are these nutrients?
You didn't ease into it.
No. Yeah. See,
I got, I had that ish, that same issue, but it was from the Doritos taco from Taco Bell.
That thing ruined your life.
It ruined my life, actually, because also afterward, that's when like I started, you know, all the shit started going wrong for me.
Yeah. You know? It really was fucking taco.
That's when I got the C.
Oh,
that's
they need a Surgeon General warning on the wrapper. Really,
I've been very leery to go to Taco Bell since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, I blame that. I blame that.
I like that the first question that the press asks is it AIDS?
Yeah, I love
it. Well, you know why?
Because it's 1993?
It's 1993, but also I think this is around the time that North Star came out. And so I think they're worried about AIDS with him. Because there's an AIDS issue of Alpha Flight.
Oh, okay.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, man.
Did we read it?
No,
sounds
we
uplifting.
Didn't. No, yeah, we haven't gotten to that one yet. There's a few. Marvel in the 90s had a few AIDS issues. Hulk had an AIDS issue.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How'd Hulk get AIDS?
Hulk.
Broken rubber.
the Infinity Gauntlet Buyers Club. I was trying to think of the most non-committal joke.
Good job.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, they're asking about that. For a second, I thought it's like Carol Burnett.
That's what I thought, too.
But yeah,
it's
not. Same here.
No. Carol Burnett. I'm like, why is Carol Burnett there?
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Carol Burnett, get out of there. And so they're all like, look, you know, everybody's asking questions.
They're taking him basically from the hospital to wherever, and they're like, why are you taking him? He's obviously covered up, so we can't see him. So is it some sort of super virus? Are we going to get sick? What's going on? And they're just like, no comment. Leave us alone. And then what is her name?
Heather.
Heather. For some really weird reason, she's wearing these, like, sort of Kanye West-ish shades.
Well, she has to, because she's got a very explodey suit.
Right, but it depends on what panel, because sometimes you can't see through them, and sometimes all you can see are her eyes.
That's true.
And they're really weird looking.
Yeah.
So that's weird. But then this guy...
Sasquatch.
He's like a doctor.
Well, he's a doctor, but he can also turn into a Sasquatch.
They're all doctors.
Paging Dr. Sasquatch.
And he gets all mad because the press keeps badgering her, so he turns into a giant monster and like screams in their faces.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah,
I think
good for him.
More people need to abuse their powers.
Yeah, I know. For PR purposes, not only.
Absolutely.
If you want to be like, this press conference is over, and Jin just wipe all their memories, you know, or do some sort of witchcraft or whatever it is that your power is, or if you're... wind shear, you can like make hard wind and like knock off a chandelier while make them all run away.
I don't know. That'll show them.
Because that's his power.
I say you just leave it. Let them know. Be like, you don't want to badger these guys. Yeah, they use their powers for good, but they'll also intimidate you with them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Back off.
No, yeah, I mean, and they're being she's trying to handle it properly, and he's stepping in for her. Thankfully,
so they drive away.
And so they're trying to figure out, like, they're like, yeah, a lot of stuff's been, you know, this has all been going down. We need to, you know, take care of this. We need to, you know, take care of as we know about Wild Child, who.
He's having like a reflect.
He's having a reflect because he's just trying to decide. Is like, am I man? Am I animal? Was I ever a man? Was I created? Because basically, he's a mutant that kind of turned into. He kind of developed into like a beast kind of guy with like nails and, you know, ferocity, but he was also tinkered with.
Should have been in a hairband. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, you could have joined some
hair.
He could have joined Winger at this time.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah.
Wild Child. He could have founded Children of Bodom.
Yes.
A little bit of a deep metal reference there.
I'm familiar with Children of Bodom. Is that a Children of Bodom song?
No, the lead singer, Alexei Laiho, that's his nickname.
Oh. Well, here he is.
He's sticking with it, too. It's pretty cheesy for 2016, but he's still like, hey, guys, I'm Wild Child. Wow!
And you're like, you're 57.
So he's kind of having us reflect, and he's like, I'm going to go in the sewer. Because you know,
that's where you go when you want to think.
That's where you go, and he's got to go try to hang out with Nemesis, who...
Yeah, the stank of poop helps me think.
This reminds me of that time. This reminds me of that Doritos Loco burrito I had.
Thinking about what a bad idea it
what
was.
A bad
idea.
My life is in ruins.
And honestly, this drawing, I thought he was Sabretooth for like 2 seconds. Just the way he's drawn here.
Yeah, no, I can see that, yeah.
He kind of looks a little like Sabretooth.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Sabretooth. Yeah.
Slightly, yeah. And you're like, oh, wait, no, that's not.
Sabretooth rocking a deep V.
Yeah, oh, that is
the deepest V.
That is the deepest of Vs.
Deepest of Vs.
Like, that goes all the way down to the top of his unmentionables.
I think I can see some babushka sticking out at the bottom of that V.
Well, he was a wild child, you know.
Yeah.
Living my life. Anyway, so he's trying to find Nemesis, who we talked about before.
And there was a
Spider-Man. No, it was Alpha Flight. It was Alpha Flight. She's the one that chopped up Deadly Earnest with her
Deadly Earnest.
Yeah. So there was this guy called Deadly Earnest who was just like this big fat guy, big fat French Canadian guy with a mustache.
Riding the popularity of the Earnest franchise.
Yeah. He was like, Earnest goes to kill, you know, and he would go around. And
cash in before that guy dies. Oh, wait.
Yeah. And he was right. That was around 87. So he was like,
he was alive.
It was around the time when Earnest Goes to Camp came out. So that's when Earnest was the time. That was when the time to use that name.
Yeah,
it's Earnest. But he's like her.
This was in the train station, right?
Yes.
Oh, I remember this now.
And the thing is, okay, so at the end of that issue, that girl dies, right?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a brand new person in this thing.
Huh.
Apparently, there have been two other people, three of these Nemesis characters, all completely different people.
Nemesai.
and they have swords, the same swords. I don't, and the Marvel Wiki is no use because they're like, well, you know, it just happens that there's these three people and they all have the same swords. I'm like, well, why? Why did this part, what did they find the sword? Where, because this chick died, and I mean, there's gotta be a backstory, but there wasn't.
It's just go with it. It's comics.
I'm confused. Anyway, so he goes down, he's like, I'm looking for Nemesis. And he goes down and he's like, he senses that there's people following him, and it turns out, because
there's like a cult of children.
Yes, the children of the night that apparently she heads up. She heads up a cult of kids.
Sure. And so he's like, oh, I can sense them. And they're like, ooh, yay, stabby. And so they try to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have nothing else to do because they live in a fucking sewer. So they're going to stab this guy to death.
Yeah, a bunch of kids have knives.
And then we cut to this.
Well, we got, this is Puck. Puck is trying to figure out what the deal is with what happened at the issue before.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's this character, the character Wire, that shows up later. Well, spoiler alert. He tried to kill Wild Child earlier because he's like a hell bent, like he feels that he helped create Wild Child in some way, so he's trying to kill him. And what's his face? Puck realizes that Sasquatch has something to do with it.
I do want to say though, so like Puck's thinking, whatever, nobody cares. So then we cut back to the fight that's going on in this sewer, and we've got like a shadow dancer, like drawing of Wild Child, and this one right here is like shit. What was that movie?
That's like a Rockette kick.
Yes, it's like a Rockette kick. Like you look at that. Look at that. His like. Like a Barbie.
Well, he's
with his legs, like, he's like akimbo.
You see this up here? Impressive. He's doing a split.
No balls.
No scrotum.
I mean, you can kind of see maybe he's got like a cup because there's like a little, maybe a little taint going on there, but like not a lot.
It is the most intense split I think I've ever seen in a comic.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. It is amazing. So good for him.
Yeah.
So finally he's like, okay, child with a knife. Whatever, and he gets hit from the back of the from behind, and he passes out.
Yeah, and so now we got Sasquatch trying to figure out what's going on with Mannequin,
who's living in a sea anemone.
Yeah, he turned into like a sea dwelling potato bug,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, absolutely, that's exactly what happened to him.
He turned into a potato.
He looks like he's like in a pierogi with like stuff sticking out the
sides.
Alpha
pierogi.
Alpha pierogi.
Alpha pierogi would have been a great spinoff.
So it looks like. Did you ever see The Mist?
Oh, Stephen King's The Mist.
The Frank Darabont one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I've not seen it.
There's a, like, the tentacles come in when they're hiding out in, like, this garage of a supermarket, and they chop, like, the tip of a tentacle off, and it looks just like that thing that Mannequin had transformed into.
Oh.
Just a weird, spiny sea creature looking.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's really gross.
Yeah. And so they're
I think at that point, I'd just be like, all right, Mannequin's fucked.
Yeah. Because even he's, like, he's talking about the scans. He's like, oh...
Like all of his
it's
vitals.
Not working, and everything. I hear more than one heartbeat, and like more than whatever.
Well,
so
I can't explain.
I'm certain you can. So obviously, there's shit going down.
Yeah, he's got multiple body things going.
Sure.
On.
They're like, well, guys, I mean, it is Mannequin. How hard are we going to work to save Mannequin? Does anybody get? It's not like Wolverine's on the slab here.
Exactly.
It's Sea Bug Mannequin.
He will never show up in a Marvel movie.
If they open him up and Andrew McCarthy comes out.
Oh, that's where he's been.
That's where he's been. Meshach Taylor comes out. They're all inside. He's like, hey, it's the... And then they all get
Is
in like
a clown car?
Yeah,
then Jonathan Silverman gets out.
Yeah, they all get into like a Corvette with the top down. They're all right, let's haul ass. And that's the end of Alpha Flight. That's how the book ends.
Nice.
Anyway, so... And then we get something with... Purple Girl.
Basically, she feels bad.
She feels bad, and what's this fiction? Witchfire. She's
everybody feels bad because everybody blames themselves for Mannequin getting eaten by a sea anemone.
No, he got sliced by the jackal. He got poisoned.
I'm going to go with eaten by a sea anemone.
That's it.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, so now we're back in the sewer. Wild Child is chained up, and he's like, what's going
on? And so is Nemesis.
Nemesis
has also been captured.
Yeah.
And she's like, your coming here means I'm going to die. And he's like, I thought you ran this place.
I thought,
like,
these were your kids.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Isn't this
your terrible babysitter?
And he's like, no.
How come not all? Do you not have enough PlayStations for them to use?
Well,
enough books?
There's not really a lot of power in the sewer. So.
It's sewer games.
Yeah, and it's what, 93, 94? So they need like an NES.
Yeah.
She probably left them alone with the Ninja Turtles for a couple minutes, and then this guy
I think
showed
that's
up.
Actually, I'm surprised they didn't show up in this book, actually.
And the Ninja Turtles like, hey, what the hell's going on?
They're just like, I was just looking for pizza, and then it's like, you know, Donatello and kicking ass.
They need more crossovers. I like that Batman one they did.
Mm.
I read the first issue of the Ninja Turtles crossing over with the Batman animated series.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't into that one, but that last trade that came out was awesome.
Do you think that if the Ninja Turtles were to cross over to Alpha Flight, it being in Canada, do you think they're getting poutine pizza?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, is that
they probably
going?
Like it because they don't know anybody.
They dunk the crust in maple syrup.
Yeah. It's a weird scene.
And they also drink a lot of Tim Hortons.
Mm. Now, sounds good to be a Ninja Turtle. I would. Yeah. Can I?
You don't like poutine.
How do I know? Actually, I don't know.
They got one here in Hollywood.
Do they?
Yeah. On Cahuenga and Selma.
Oh.
There's a whole, it's only poutine.
Really?
Yeah, and it's pretty rad. It's legit.
Interesting.
I've been to Canada, had Canadian poutine before. This place holds up.
Okay, I'll have to add that to the list too, along with Zanku Chicken and...
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to go to there.
Okay, and what's
Instagout.
Yeah, pretty much.
What was the other one? Fuck. It was a good restaurant. Or not, maybe it's not good. It's just something where we're like, oh, we should have to. It's like a bullshit place.
Oh, whatever. I don't know. We'll think of it.
I'll think of it.
We have like, we need a Google Doc. I'm telling you.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to be like Friday night. Let's go to Zanku Chicken in Hollywood. Because we live at an airport. So everybody's like, there's like nothing there. There's stuff there, but nothing like cool.
Yeah. It's just all airline food.
it's all like prepackaged airline food. Anyways. So we get to meet Rock.
Yeah.
Isn't that playing off like another 90s sitcom?
Yeah.
But it was R.O.C.
No, R.O.C.
Yeah.
And this guy's R.O.K.
Charles S. Dutton.
Yeah.
We're talking Rock R.O.K., which is actually, this is kind of why I picked this because you're a metal guy. And so I was like, Rock. Kevin likes Rock.
Yeah. I didn't know Rock was also like a big scratched up scary pedo clown that lives in sewers.
With a thing hand.
Yeah, he's got a thing hand.
He absolutely has a thing hand.
The weirdest character ever.
Yeah,
and he has thing teeth. He's thing on the inside.
Yeah, he's got a thing hand. He's in clown makeup.
Got a little bit of the mayor from Nightmare Before Christmas going on.
You know he is?
Listen, he's not a
thinner Jabba the Hutt.
No, listen, he's not a clown makeup.
No, he's just that color, but he looks like
he's albino.
Okay. He's albino.
He suffers from albinism.
All right. Albinism
per the Marvel Wiki.
I see. Well, he's got a thing hand and he's a thinner Jabba the Hutt. And then he looks like he got into a fight with a cat because he's all.
Well, he got into a fight with Wild Child at one point.
Oh, I see.
Because he's basically like, hey, man, remember me? Look at my face. Look at my body.
What is going on with his face? Hold on.
Very scratched up. He's got a lot of battle damage.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of battle. He's got like the He-Man battle damage on his face.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on. And he's wearing like a, I don't know, a carpet of some sort that has armholes in it.
Carpet.
Yeah. It's a throw rug.
I'm going to make this guy in my WWE.
Oh, yes, you are.
I think I should.
He looks like Karnov.
He does. Yes. Yes. Good call. Yes. Good. He looks like a pale Karnov.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So he's like, I'm going to get you for all the shit that you did to my face.
Yeah, my rock hands.
What the hell is going on here?
Because now I'm taking over I took over these kids, so fuck off.
Yeah.
So he ties them. Basically, he ties up Wild Child to the
sewer floor. Yeah.
He's already got him tied up to the sewer floor, and he's like, all right, now time to kill this girl.
Yep. Watch me kill Nemesis.
Time to kill Nemesis. And he's about to
kill. So he's like fucking with Nemesis, and then he's going to kill Wild Child. And then all of a sudden.
So, well, here's the thing. Wild Child's sitting here, like, thinking, it's like, what am I? Am I, man? And I'm like, dude, you're tied up to a thing, man.
Yeah,
who cares?
Fight,
just get out. Get out of there.
Use your powers and get the hell out of your chains.
Use your Children of Bodom powers.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Instead
whatever.
Of sitting around being
what
like,
would the Children of Bodom, what would be if there was a Children of Bodom superhero, what would their power be?
It would probably be death. Like every album cover, they have the Grim Reaper on it.
Oh,
so it would have to be some sort of Grim Reaper-ish, but not death, because Lady Death's already taken. But
yeah.
Maybe he could summon the Grim Reaper to just not kill people, but just to get him out of get him out of jams. Like, hey man, I'm trapped. Like, oh, okay, what's up? So anyways, as he's about to get beat up, Wild Child gets saved by Garrison Kane.
I was waiting to ask you who that Weapon X was.
That's Garrison Kane.
Okay.
Because he kind of looks like, I don't know, Sylvester Stallone crossed with Eric Roberts or something.
Yeah.
Eric Roberts crossed with Jax. With the metal arms.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got two metal arms, and he's got
Mortal Kombat
children hanging from him.
Yeah, there's kids with little Allen wrenches trying to beat him down.
But
with the tiniest Allen wrenches.
He's got two metal arms. They're not doing anything.
Oh, no, they're not doing anything. So I'm surprised to see him, because he's a character that I didn't know anything about growing up, Garrison Kane. Because he'd always be the guy who were like, maybe Kevin, you remember this, like, remember the Toy Biz X-Force action figures. Remember how Marvel used to have all the X-Force, the action figures with Toy Biz?
Oh, yeah.
They had X-Men and X-Force and all that. And they had, like, two versions of Kane. They had one where his hand could pull out, like, a winch. And then another one where he could just, like, put different, look more like this. Where his metal arms, you put, like, a propeller blade on it and stuff like that.
Well, his fists fly off in this one, too, right?
Yeah. And I don't understand. I mean, I never understand. Like, who is this guy? Like, why do I have to buy this figure? Why can't they make, you know, something else? You know, but no, they had
a... Did his action figure come with small children that he would just throw off?
Sadly, it did not.
I think rags?
Sadly, that was not convenient back in 1995.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But, so he's there to save the day.
I don't know. There's a part where people are talking. Nobody cares.
We get the actual Alpha Flight proper not doing anything in this issue, by the way. I'm kind of disappointed. I wanted you guys to see Windshear do something. Because Windshear does hard air.
He could, like, in the middle of battle, fart, solidify his fart, and then beat someone to death with it.
100%, yes.
Hmm.
He could fart like a baseball bat out of his ass and then beat and use that to fight.
He should do that more often.
That's my kind of hero.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his hair, it's not brown hair. If it was the case, maybe it is. You know, maybe it is.
When he solidifies it, it might. It could be green, orange.
Yeah, yeah. See, I don't know enough about this guy, but I know that he produces hard air constructs, kind of like how Mera of Aquaman's wife does like water constructs. Yeah. See, he does air, and then you've got like the earth people.
What are they, like airbenders and stuff?
Yeah, but he makes stuff that he can, like, if he wants to make like a bolt, like a elephant out of air, he can throw it at you.
It's like an air green lantern.
Yeah,
air green lantern. Yeah. So that's his deal.
But his ass instead of a ring.
Yes. But he doesn't do anything here. And so basically Puck confronts Sasquatch.
No, it doesn't matter.
And then we're back fighting
in the sewer.
Yeah, we're fighting in the sewer. Rock is going back and forth.
Well, Child's like,
he does launch his fist here, yes.
Launching fist.
I do appreciate that, actually. I do like the launch fist.
Yeah, and I like his response when he gets punched. He's just like, that hurt. Very on-the-nose response.
He knocked out a tooth. Yes.
Oh, yeah. thing tooth.
He's missing a rock tooth.
He can just go find a pebble. It'll be fine.
he can just stick it in a rock in his mouth.
Maybe some quartz.
This guy's having a hard go.
Yeah, he's having a good
time. He's living in the sewer. He's albino. He's got rock teeth.
Yeah, and a thing hand. So he eventually gets knocked down.
Yeah. What's his face? Basically, Wild Child and Kane are too much for the power of Rock.
They kick his ass.
Rock and or roll.
Yeah.
And just as they're about to get out of there with Nemesis, Wire. This is Wire.
Mm.
Shows back up.
Who looks more like Wolverine?
He looks like Wolverine wearing army pants.
He really does, holding a gun.
And he shows up, and
he just gets in a bang. You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're done. He's like, even Canadian A. He's
yeah,
like,
there's hey. There were quite a few A's in there. I noticed they really kept it true.
Yeah, well, it's Canadian. It's insane. Well, they got maple leaves all over themselves.
That's true.
Stuff
they
like
do.
That. Yeah, and that's it for Alpha Flight. We get a little splash page for the next issues. Conclusion of Extreme Prejudice, where
such a cliffhanger.
Yeah, right? No, where apparently people are going to fight. Apparently,
shit,
Wire
in a comic book.
Yeah. Wire comes back. Wire's ability, if you didn't know this, his body hair turns into like flesh tendrils and it can attack you.
Wait, gross.
His body hair?
Well, it looks like his body hair. It looks like he's got like body hair, but it's really just like fleshy tendrils that can attack.
That's disgusting.
It is pretty gross. That's why he's called Wire with a Y.
Oh,
W-Y-R-E.
So does that mean he could like turn his bush into like a big Medusa head?
Yeah. Actually, yes, he can. Yes, he can. There's a lot
Don't look directly at it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of below the waist action from Canadian superheroes that has not been explored adequately in the Marvel Universe. I feel
they need to hire me.
That's what we always say when we talk about these books. We're like, we need to hire us. You know, they need to hire us for these Marvel movies. Consult, you know, be like, you know what? I think we need to have that guy's fart turn into a weapon.
Yeah, beat people with farts and bush hair.
Right? That's what the people want.
Yeah.
That's what they want. So, yeah. So that's it for Alpha Flight number 116 from January 1993. Kevin, would you read the next issue of this?
Possibly, just to get more
What about you, Jen?
No. You shouldn't be surprised. I always say no when we talk about Alpha Flight.
Yeah, no, I'll read
I'm sure I will eventually, if we continue to do this podcast.
I'll read it.
I know, you probably own it.
No, I don't. I have the one before it.
Oh, okay.
But I will get the one after it.
So because we don't get to find out if Wire's bush comes to life.
No, I'll find out.
And
I'll tell you.
It turns into like a spinning propeller and decapitates everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I would definitely read it. Well, that's it for Alpha Flight number 116. We'll be back with our next book.
Hi, I'm Quen.
And I'm Dev.
And together we make
Mouth Time,
a podcast by Reductress.
You know us from amazing articles such as How to Be a Lady in the Streets and A Haunted Clock Tower in the Sheets.
And Childless Women. Are they safe?
We are the only podcast made by women that women are allowed to listen to.
Yeah, no one's telling you you can't.
We love covering things that you love hearing about, like drugs, snakes, and punching yourself in the mouth till you pass out. You know, lady stuff.
You know, shopping, horses, hair ties, lady stuff. We have new episodes every Wednesday.
Find us on iTunes, SideshowNetwork.tv, and anywhere else you can find podcasts, including the mouth of a snake that you don't know if it's a dream or real or a ghost.
Honestly, check it out. There might be a podcast in there.
There might be.
Bye.
All right. He's back. Well, we're back. I'm reading the comic book. We're back
here. We are also back.
We're also back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network with our good friend Kevin Kraft. Thank you again for joining us, Kevin.
Thank you.
Once again, you are on the Mad Scientist Party Hour, or as I like to call it, Mad Scientist Party by the Hour. Because the one time in my head I call it that, because it's the one time you were on with Chris Gore and I was doing the pod crash and you had somebody call in to your like phone call line and that's how they referred to you because they thought you were like an actual like scientist they can hire.
Yeah, I don't know why I picked that name. I was planning the podcast for a while and I just went with the least memorable, most convoluted name you could possibly get.
You know, that works though cuz it stands out and it's something where it's acronymable. Acronym?
MSPH?
Yeah.
MSPH is a lot easier to remember.
Yeah. But I remember that's how I kind of got to know you. And he, Chris Gore, when I was doing Podcrash, you guys reached out to him and wanted to do the show and I helped coordinate it. Cause basically I was like, Chris is like Sherpa. I was like, go here, park here, do this. You know? They're going to do this to you. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Can't wait. You know? So he go and he, you know, he's been on your show a few times and, he was there watching, I think it was you and Jeff. Eat foot shavings and pasta.
Oh yeah,
A petty egg because you took a petty egg and put that on your put your because you lost a bet or something.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So we used the contents of the petty egg disposal unit as Parmesan cheese on pasta. Yeah, that was one of those times where he was like, "I wish I didn't do this."
Yeah,
are you sure that didn't give you hemorrhoids?
No, cannibalism.
That's right. That's
cannibalism doesn't cause hemorrhoids. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
I just consumed his soul.
So that's all right.
Wait. It was your foot, though, right? Or Shuddy's?
No, foot? I think it was quite a few people's.
Okay, so it wasn't Chris's foot.
No, I think my memory's so bad, but I think we asked him and he was like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. I could see him saying that, yes. I could see him being like, ah. Because I think I prepared, I said there will be stunts. Because I knew it's your show and I was like, there's going to be stunts. And he's like, okay, but you don't have to do anything. And he's like, oh, okay, good. You
know, yeah, I mean, because when we started 6 years ago, the podcast market was already pretty flooded.
Yeah.
So we were like, all right, I know we can put on a good show, but we got to do something a little bit extra. So maybe that'll like pique people's interest. Be like, oh my God, you hear this show where guy drank someone's pee or used foot Parmesan. And it hasn't helped us one bit.
Yeah, that's the thing. In podcasting, there's a lot of stunts that go on. I feel that people don't pay attention to. You know, I know there's going to be other stuff, but I feel like there's a lot of things where people have been like, oh my God, we're doing this, we're doing that. It's going to be wild. And then, like, it doesn't move anything. You know, it's because podcasting, as you know, and I think you guys are into the groove, and it's kind of like how, you know, we do here. It's like, it's about content.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, genuine affinity for the content that you're saying, which is, you know, because I, you know, you could tell when you listen to the show, and the people that we have on the show are comic book fans and people that are like, holy shit, you know, I can make fun of this stuff and not feel like I have to be critical, and because for critic's sake and for content's sake, it's about, you know, talking about ass in terms of comics.
That should be our slogan. Worst collection ever, talking about ass.
Talking about ass. So,
yeah, and we like to live up to the party aspect of the name too.
Yeah.
Like we'll get trashed sometimes on the show. We had a co-host of mine left the show when we had to do a time shift, but every week he would try a new edible and just try like all these different, there's so many, like there's weed inhalers, there's weed barbecue sauce, there's weed gum, there's weed, you can consume marijuana in any imaginable way. So we would have him try that out and review it. And our 200th episode, I did a strikeout from that movie Beer Fest, where you do like a huge bong hit, and while you're holding it in, do a shot, chug a beer, and then you blow out the bong hit.
Mm.
And I think before then, I had snorted an ashtray's worth of ash.
Like cigarette ash?
Sorry. Well, I
just shudder a little bit there.
I don't smoke cigarettes, so it was all weed ash.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, what are we talking? What kind of ash are we talking?
Yeah.
Human. Right, cool. Human ash. Good.
Cremated remains of my grandma.
She's being useful.
She's dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Well, that's the party part of it. That's the party.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the party and the science part of it. That's where you're getting both together.
Exactly. Yeah. We're doing the Lord's work.
Absolutely.
So, next comic book. It is The Demon making his return to our show. Mm-hmm. The Demon number 23 from May 1992 on the cover. It is Demon versus Robin. The boy monster? Question mark, exclamation point.
Love those 90s cover setups.
Yeah. Which it's a setup of that. It's also bullshit. I'm just going to say it right off the bat. It's bullshit.
Yeah. This doesn't happen. And they even have a little box inside this comic to be like, oh, kidding.
Whatever.
Like, fuck you, fuck editor. You,
thanks for the cash.
Yeah.
Thanks for the dollar for this Sean Merrick 20 years later. 15 years later.
Yeah.
God, that's so old. This is a 15-year-old comic. Do you realize that?
That's insane.
It's best not to talk about.
Oh, so that's not from the 90s?
It is. It's from 92.
Wait, no, it's way older
that's
than 15.
25.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this is, like, when I was, like...
You keep thinking that we're only 20.
This came out when I was 12. This still looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
All right.
I got a question, though. Right in the beginning, who is this fucking living face pillow? That's the creepiest thing.
Well, I will get into this.
Yeah,
God,
we gotta talk
creepy.
About that. I think he's like a sentient Pop-Tart, but we'll talk.
Mm. Oh, he does look like a pastry puff.
Right? He looks like a pastry.
Okay. So, Demon versus Robin, the boy monster, basically on a cover. Robin
is a werewolf.
He is wearing his Robin outfit. Even has his spirit gum mask still on.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Over his eyes. Yeah. And he's holding Etrigan by the whatever.
So, this is 93. So, is this Tim Drake Robin?
This is Tim Drake. This is Tim.
Because
Jason's already dead.
Jason's been dead
Jason's been dead forever. Dick's out there being whatever.
Nice ass man.
He's having a great ass. He's you always say this.
Oh, he is the biggest slut in the DCU.
Yeah,
absolutely. He fucks everybody, and good for him. No judgment. But he, I think, has had probably slept with the most people.
I want to see him fuck Etrigan.
He probably would. Let's be honest here.
He probably has.
Yeah, good for him.
Try and see Etrigan rhyme with his pillow talk. Do not think that I am a slut just because I let you put it in my butt.
So, let me ask this real quick before we jump right in here. Have you had any experience with Etrigan or Demon?
Yeah. I always wonder if he just gets flustered with the rhyming. Like, God damn it, I just want to talk. Why do I have to rhyme?
I feel like he really stretches it.
I feel like that's why there aren't a lot, like, there's not a Demon comic book now. Because everybody's like, I'm not writing that shit. I don't want to make it rhyme for an entire, like, run. I'm not doing it.
Well, you know, it's...
Did they do away with the rhyming bit of his?
You know, I can't... I've never read through Demon Knights, so I can't remember, but I feel like it was not there?
I want to say I've read something modern with Etrigan in it, and he was just talking without
rhyming.
That's
probably for the best.
Yeah, I think they just said, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because... It's annoying.
No, it really is.
All right. So The Demon, number 23, May 1992. The Return of the Howler, part one. Buddies!
Exclamation point.
And then we have somebody howling on a rooftop.
Woo! In Gotham,
of course. Where else is it going to be?
So then we're at...
Jason Blood's house. Wherever Jason Blood lives. Jason Blood is hanging out with Harry the Pillow.
What is his deal?
So,
or Pop-Tart toaster pastry with
Harry.
He's like, a sentient fleshlight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But like a. But he's not the right shape. He's just like a square.
So don't let Etrigan fuck me again, please.
There's multiple outlets. That's why he's like. He's
square. Oh, I got it. Yeah.
You just all go in at once. It's like a
multi-purpose fleshlight.
It's like those ports. Like, I'm trying to think, like a USB port stand.
He's just a hub.
So he's like a party favor.
He's a flesh hub.
See, I wasn't sure if this was someone that got cursed. Like, if he's just a cursed.
Yeah, like, what's his deal?
I recall it, but I think he's basically somebody that got cursed to be a pillow.
That's the fucking worst curse ever.
But,
that's the most unoriginal wizard.
But, you know, he still enjoys cigars.
I will turn you into a... look around the room. You're a pillow!
But you'd also be the creepiest thing in any room.
Yeah,
100%.
Like, no matter where you were, it'd be like,
They need to work that into the DC movie franchises. Just pillow.
We need to bring that back.
It just hangs out in Wayne Manor.
You think Marvel can get weird with Doctor Strange? Look at our pillow.
We just need to have that hanging out where, like, Bruce Wayne's walking through Wayne Manor and just the pillow's like, hey, Bruce, how about some scotch? And he just looks at him and goes, yeah, I'll be right back. And he just keeps walking.
Alfred, kill the pillow.
and it just doesn't come up for the rest of the movie, which is kind of how they do that stuff. It's kind of how bad the DC movies are.
Or you could just give him like a Howard the Duck style cameo post credits.
Yeah, oh, totally.
That would blow my mind. I would probably stand up in the theater and be like, holy fuck it. I would go on my way. I'd be like, fuck you, Zack Snyder. I'm telling everybody about this goddamn pillow.
MODOK gets out of his chair and the pillow's just like,
fade to black. Like,
that was a weird crossover. MODOK got out of his chair and his pillow. I would blow my mind.
Oh wait, is MODOK Marvel?
Yeah,
my bad.
But it would still be crossover. You know, if they want to cross over, that's the one you do.
Yeah,
sure.
That's an easy one.
What's that guy's? What's
MODOK and Harry the Pillow?
No lawyers need to get involved whatsoever.
Nobody cares. I mean, who's really?
It's just a post credit scene.
I think by now the Harry the Pillow is public domain.
I think I'm gonna do a short film. And just be like,
it's a 5 second film.
5 second fan film. Just do a bunch of like just do a bunch of bullshit characters and be like, all right, we've got Rock from Alpha Flight and
Harry the Pillow.
We've got Bwana Beast and they're gonna...
The Unemployables.
I like it. I like it. I like where we're going with this. I'm sorry. What were we gonna say?
No, nothing.
You were gonna ask something, or somebody was gonna ask something.
I don't remember.
So, anyways, Pillow's here. He's smoking a cigar. He's got hair.
Yeah. And he's like, now, I have a question. We read a demon before, and he was trapped in, like, a sewer. Was he trapped in, like, a sewer, or was he trapped in hell?
He's trapped in hell.
It was Marvel's big sewer phase.
Yeah, and it was, no, it was, like, Jason Blood, because he couldn't turn into the demon for some reason.
Yeah, that was, that got figured out.
Is this before?
This is after.
Okay, that's what I was going to say, because it sounds like now they're working together.
Before,
Jason Blood and the demon hated each other. And now
he's trying to basically what
they're trying to find some sort of peace.
Yeah, because basically they've always hated each other because, you know, cursed to a demon.
Yeah.
But Etrigan apparently is they're trying. He's like, hey, he's being nice.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be nice and we're going to work this out after, you know, how many years?
A thousand years. He actually says a thousand years. And the Pillow's like, I don't believe his bullshit. Don't listen to him.
He turned me into a pillow.
Yeah. He's like, oh, by the way, Jason Blood, you like that chick that works at the jewelry store. Are you going to call
her? That's his old friend, Glenda.
Friend?
Well, that was his, like, his old paramour.
There you go.
Glenda.
Friend. So he's like, hey, you going to call her? And he's like, I can't because I don't know. Maybe. And then there's like a wolf howling outside.
Yeah, the wolf howling outside. And then we cut to Glenda in the jewel store. And she's talking to some...
It seems like Pretty Boy something.
Pretty Boy Freud.
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 What the fuck?
And he is blinging. Literally blinging.
Oh, yeah. No,
and
like,
he's like... You know,
he's like, I need all the gold, please.
Yeah, he is one of those dudes who's just like, I've got all the gold and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. He's like, I'll take this. See you later.
Literally, he's just like, whatever, give it to me.
Yeah. Thanks for the gold. And then they hear this, like, everybody hears it. Like, the Pillow hears it and Jason hears it. Everybody hears the howl. And Jason's like, okay, well, I guess I got to turn into Etrigan now. And the Pillow's like, oh, God, I hate that fucking guy.
Rhyming guy.
Yeah, he's going to rhyme and he rhymes.
So he turns into him and then.
He rhymes petite with seat.
Yeah. He's not.
God, I'm a pillow and I got to hear this shit.
He doesn't rhyme here. He just says, be good.
Yeah. And but here's the thing. So, like, he turns into. He turns into Etrigan as the Pillow is bitching about how much he hates Etrigan, and Etrigan's like, no, man, he's laughing too, which I find weird.
He's laughing a lot. He's laughing way too much.
It's like the Joker. He's
laughing like the Creeper, for crying out loud.
I think the Pillow gave him some edibles.
Yeah, I think he did. And he's like, oh, it's, you know, rhyme, whatever. And then he like puts the Pillow on his back, flips the glass up on top of his nose, and then like puts the cigar out on top. And he's like, see you later. And I'm like, did he drown him?
I think he suffocated the Pillow.
Did he try to kill the Pillow? Is that what just happened?
So who's going to have him come back? Is he's going to turn back into Jason Blood. He's going to find a dead flesh pillow.
He's going to be my party port.
If I find a dead flesh pillow, though, you know what I'm doing? I'm taking it to, if I'm in Gotham.
Well, as you would be.
I'm taking it to, if this is happening here in Gotham, I'm taking this to Leslie Thompson.
Tompkins. Yeah.
And we're doing an autopsy. We're checking it out.
Is this Gotham Leslie Thompson, Tompkins, or is this comic
books? We're talking about comic books. We're not talking about...
Oh, no, she would actually be able to do it. If you're talking about the TV show Gotham, she'd just cry on it. Yeah, she's completely useless.
She would just...
And then she would be like, Jim, I love you. And you'd be like, I love you too. And then they'd be like, here's a third guy that no one ever cared about, and I love him too. And then there's a fucking love triangle that nobody cares
Do you watch
about.
That show?
Fuck Gotham.
I'm like 7 episodes behind.
Yeah, as you should be. No one should ever watch that show. It's terrible. So we're back.
I started watching it because my buddy he got cast as one of the Joker's minions.
Oh, that's right. Dustin
Ibarra.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
he had a really cool character. And it was weird seeing my buddy play a bad guy.
Yeah.
That's really awesome, though.
Really weird. One of your like best friends who's like the most happy-go-lucky guy is playing a cannibal in Gotham.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was part of What's-Her-Face's crew, Barbara's crew of weirdos.
Yeah,
and then the mini Joker kills him.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Mini Joker's coming back.
Yeah, because he died too.
He was awesome. When they killed him, how'd you kill the best part of that show?
I was like, oh my God, this show actually has momentum now.
Yeah.
This is fucking great. And they killed him and it just died the next episode. And I was
Are you kidding? Fish Mooney back.
I was like, no, this sucks.
Fish.
Yeah.
There was that show.
That show's a fucking nightmare.
I like when my favorite was.
I watch it every week.
I think my favorite just reminds me of Jim Gordon Clayface. Which is just, it's just, it's just, it's just like, yeah, forget that hoe, son of a bitch. I'm like,
that was so brutal.
And everybody's just like, yeah, that's Jim Gordon.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're acting completely normal. Yeah,
you're a normal guy.
Yeah, he just has the personality of Butthead now.
And he won't stop eating. Totally Jim Gordon. So then we're back in the alleyway with pretty boy Freud. And all of a sudden the werewolf thing like jumps up and it kills him.
Kills him, and all this money comes out.
Money, and
Sigmund Freud is sad.
Yeah, so sad.
Pretty boy Freud gone way too soon, like many of his time.
And Robin is like, oh no, I'm
yeah, Robin's here.
Robin has been watching this guy, because Batman has him tailing him for reasons, and he's like, hey, I wasn't supposed to like get involved, but I suppose I should. So he like jumps in, thinking that the werewolf is not real, thinking it's just like a dude in a suit. Which, you've been around Gotham long enough, Robin. You should know better by now.
Did he get that suit from Party City?
Yeah, I think he's like, oh, God. Cosplayers. So he, like, jumps on this guy.
That's why Batman told him not to engage. Yeah. He's like, this fucking idiot thinks everybody's in a suit.
It's probably a guy just going to Gotham Con. He decided to fight some crime. He got all fired up, you know?
Oh, no, it's the Joker. Or maybe it's just a guy dressed as the Joker. Better go kick him.
Tim Drake just punching fucking nerds in the face.
Jumps right to their fan film. It's like, come on, we were filming here.
Hey, that guy looks like me. Oh, they're going to do a fan film about Robin. Okay.
But then he's like, wow, this guy's really heavy. And that mask looks too real. Oh, no, it's because it is. And so then they start fighting.
And so he tries, he gets bested.
Yeah, he really gets his ass handed to him by this werewolf.
He's getting like... He's getting wolf hypnotized.
Well, see, here's the thing. Because usually, like, to turn into a werewolf, one should be bitten by a werewolf, right? And then you become a werewolf. This one has, like, the power of werewolf eyes. I don't
He has werewolf hypnotism. He uses he's using
but
that to
it's
transfer.
It's not hypnotism. It's, like, transferring the actual soul of the werewolf through his eyes into somebody else's eyes.
Yes.
It's kind of a weird thing. So he's trying to do that to Robin, but before he can finish, the demon shows up.
Yeah, he does. He's about to use a flash grenade or something, and then
Etrigan, another one, and
Etrigan yanks him up,
and he laughs like, the whole fucking time, which I find annoying.
Etrigan's like, "I'm as safe as mother's milk," and I'm like, "Oh, okay."
He's still really stoned.
Yeah.
he's like, "Yeah, I'm like breast milk." That's what he says.
Good. I'm like breast milk. Tangy.
Frozen?
Well, Bruce always told me to trust milk. Breast milk.
That sounds like something Bruce would say.
He's always
There's three things Bruce always tells me. Watch your back.
Don't trust anybody.
It's
never a suit. And breast milk is great. And those are the three things he ever tells me.
Breast milk. He's always milking Alfred. That's what they're doing with Lucius in Gotham. They kept him in the basement. They were milking him.
That makes sense.
Because Lucius showed up in Gotham last season.
And then he stayed in the basement for
an entire
season.
And then he lived in their basement in a hole that Bruce made with an explosive because he read it in a book. That's what he told Alfred. Alfred's like, why did you blow up my... How do you know you're going to be able to blow up this hole in our fireplace? He's like, I read it in a book, Alfred.
Yeah.
And then they sent Lucius down there to work on a computer. And then Lucius is just like, comes up occasionally. And he's like, hey, I work for the police now. Anyway,
whatever.
I'm getting milked.
Yeah, he's getting milked. That's really what's going on.
So, so we got lots of fighting with the demon and the werewolf.
And Robin tries to help, but he sucks terribly, and he falls off a roof. I don't know.
His communicator breaks. He's trying to call Batman.
Batman, and then he's like, oh, I'll help by like tying him up with my little rope here. All right. All I have to do is hold on to this rope. Oh, wait. And now I get pulled off.
Oops.
The thing, because I suck, apparently, and I have never trained a day in my life. So he gets pulled off the building, and he's falling to his death because I guess he doesn't have a backup grapple, which that's probably the fourth thing Bruce told him, but he never got past the breast milk part.
Yeah, he can only remember three at a time.
Four have a backup grapple. So the demon has to let the werewolf go so he can save Robin from death.
Yes. And he does.
And he does. Oh, isn't that nice?
And he's like, and the police show up, and they're like, I want to shoot Etrigan.
But they also show up with that lady.
Yeah.
And she apparently does not like the demon, but the demon's like, no, we're friends now.
Yeah, is that Glenda?
Glenda.
Yeah.
That's Glenda. That's Glenda from the shiny place.
I don't remember reading Glenda in stuff.
You don't remember? No, she's always kind of been around. Like even back in the Matt Wagner miniseries from '87, she was kind of kicking with him. Like she's kind of always been like this lady friend of Jason's.
Yeah.
Okay. And then eventually they adopted a pillow.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and they also have like an Indian guy with him too that gets referenced.
Oh yeah, he comes. He shows up later.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a seer.
Oh
or
yeah,
something.
Randu.
Randu. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I didn't read too many Etrigan comics.
Yeah. This is all what's going on in here. He's got like a little crew.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is like that's his alpha flight.
That's his entourage.
But so she, you know, but yeah, but so Etrigan's all like, hey, I'm cool.
Yeah, I want to be friends.
What up, lady?
I'm turning over a new leaf. This is new Etrigan.
Kissing her hand and stuff, and she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then the werewolf goes back to some guy.
I don't know who this guy is.
And he, like...
He's like, hey, I've been waiting for you. What the hell? And he zaps him with, like, a taser, and he throws him in a van.
Yeah.
And he tells him, like, what the fuck, man?
And then we get Batman doing some stuff.
And, yeah, because then there's the guys waiting for Pretty Boy...
Freud,
and Batman like sticks a tracer on their car, and that's what Batman does in this book.
Batman's doing stuff.
Good job, Batman.
And then we get the wolf guy. He went into the sewer.
There's a lot of sewers.
So we got
this. This is sewer week.
This is sewer week.
Your own worst collection ever.
You know what?
Marvel's golden age of sewers.
You know, I did not plan it like this because last week we had a robot themed week,
and now we
and I kind of planned it as such. But this is sewer week.
This is just
perfect episode for me to sit in on, by the way.
So basically, I think this is the first time Robin and Etrigan have met. Like, at least Tim Drake.
It seems to be because he's like, they haven't met, but he's hurt. Batman's told him about him.
Yeah,
and then he's like, oh yeah, you're Batman's cub. And then he says, like,
does that mean that he views Batman as a bear?
I'm certain he does. I'm certain a lot of guys view Batman as a bear.
All right.
But then he says something like, oh, you're like him, and if like you look deep down, it's like me. So I'm thinking he's saying like there's some sort of like quote demon inside of Batman or whatever.
Yeah, the
rage demon.
Rage demon.
Sure. So that's weird. So they're like going around, and then Etrigan explains where this wolf came from.
Yeah, basically, it's like a primal entity of sorts.
Yeah, from like weird ass cavemen or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They invoked it because they were cavemen or something, and then
cavemen
like,
not knowing any better.
Yeah, and so Etrigan had to like Jason Blood had to use magic to like banish it away forever.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah, so, and then we get them talking.
Because then here's the little box.
Yeah.
While they're talking, where it's like, because Robin's like, oh, he tried to pass the werewolf into my eyes and like eye drops, Visine. And so he's like,
werewolf, and then Visine werewolf.
It's Visine werewolf. And there's like a little box and says, what? You mean the cover was misleading? And you're like, fuck you. You guys are jerks. So then we cut back to Glenda and she's talking to that guy. What's his name again?
Randu.
Yeah, and they're kind of like, she's kind of like, yeah, it was weird. I saw him.
Yeah, and he's like, can't you, like, use your power? And he's like, my power doesn't work that way. And she's like, ugh, you're pointless. So then we go back to, we're on the street of Gotham. All of a sudden, there's, like, dudes unloading a car, and here comes the werewolf.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then they fight the werewolf, and then he gets shot by, like, whole lot of guns.
Every bullet.
And then he just like possesses some random passerby or one of the gangsters.
One of the guys, he just goes into somebody's body.
Yeah.
He's like, watch out for my body, you know, and it's here comes. And that guy turns into a werewolf.
And I'm assuming eats a lot of people.
Well, something happens here,
does he become more werewolves?
Yeah, out of nowhere, it's just like the gremlin effect. One of them must have gotten wet and just found like.
What just happened?
Yeah. So all these werewolves show up, and
there's just like a sea of werewolves out of nowhere.
Yeah, and they're all howling.
Yeah.
And Etrigan's like,
Oh, did we skip the part where he's like, say hi to Batman?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, because they're like, well, I guess it's not in the sewer.
Yeah,
well.
Robin's like, thanks for that walk through the sewer, Etrigan. I'll see you later. And he's like, say hi to Batman. And then Etrigan just leaves. And that's it. That's the end of Robin in this book.
Robin's like, thanks, bro. I didn't turn into a werewolf.
I'm so glad I spent 2 hours walking through liquid shit. It was fun.
I can't wait to tell Bruce.
Bruce is going to be so happy.
You know, Bruce would be like, oh, you had your first Etrigan
shit walk. It's like an art walk, but not as fun.
So anyways, yeah, so werewolves, and then Etrigan hears more howling, and he's like, oh, time for a party.
I do have to say that this last panel of Etrigan, where he's got a lot of teeth, he looks like Gary Busey.
You know what?
He's very Busey-ish.
He's got so much teeth.
That is accurate.
By the way, perfect actor to play Etrigan if he's ever on screen.
He's got all the teeth.
I'm not going to do a Gary Busey impression, but I'm just imagining that him being.
You don't even have to give him a script. Whatever he says will be appropriate.
Absolutely, and I bet he'll make it rhyme.
I will remove your endocrine system from your body.
There won't be any rhyming. He'll just give everything acronyms.
You know what?
I'd watch it.
Yeah, acronym. Based Etrigan is a good, because they're always, because you know what's going to happen is they're going to look at this, you know, this character, they're going to be like, you know what, does he have to rhyme? And they'll be like, well, maybe we could do something different. And Hollywood will be like, well, how about acronyms? And they'll be like, Gary Busey does those.
Yeah,
let's hire him.
Acronyms and Buseyisms all over the place.
Oh,
yes,
man,
I'm in.
It's the best movie.
That'd be good. That'd be a good good movie.
I like how they say next issue. Schmoozing with the primal entity.
Oh yeah, it's like they're going for a meeting. They're gonna get something on the air.
Get some drinks.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna try to set up a development deal.
Yeah, absolutely. They're gonna pitch some stuff.
Could be like, yo, this is gonna be good for the 18-34 demo.
Thinking Busey.
Gary Busey said Gary Busey's got a soft commit.
They want to get in the Busey business.
Yeah.
And
so that's it for the book.
That's it. And I do have to say that the letter columns page is called The Hell You Say, which I like.
It's fabulous.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Hell You Say.
I like it.
So yeah, that's it for The Demon.
Yeah, that's it for The Demon number 23 from, The Demon number 23 from May 1992. Next issue, Batman. Actually, Batman makes an appearance. And apparently, this Glinda chick gets a gun.
Extreme.
I'm in.
Extreme.
Yeah. So yeah. So would you read the next issue of this, Kevin?
Nah.
You just said you're in.
He changed his mind.
Oh
yeah. We already handled the Busey aspect. There's no way they could top us.
Yeah, that's true. I think we're good. I think we're good there. What about you, Jen?
You know, I probably would. I do like the Demon. I hate the rhyming. It gets very tiring. So I can't read him. Like, I can't read a bunch back to back. I'd have to read like one, and then like maybe 3 weeks later read another one. But you know,
I can read these all day, and I will.
I know you love the Demon,
and I will. So yeah, I would totally read it. I read everything. I think I'm the most. I'm very optimistic.
You really are. I think I say no about 98% of the time.
Yeah, and I'm very much like, yeah, I'd read it because I don't want the people that wrote The Demon to feel bad. I don't want Alan Grant to feel bad.
Well, because you know he is listening to this podcast.
He
right
totally,
now.
You know, he might be. There's a lot of the listeners that we have. There are some random folks that enjoy the show, and it's always a blessing.
And they're all comic book writers, sure.
Kevin McGuire, hopefully. You know, I'd be honest if Kevin McGuire listened to this.
No one's ever going to listen to this.
You'd be surprised. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it.
It was
a blast.
Kevin Kraft, where can people find you on the internet?
On Instagram, I'm at Kevin Kraft. Twitter is at Kevin Kraft Sucks. And I have a screenplay that's available on Amazon called Iron Lung, which is a story of a guy who does nothing but sit around smoking weed and playing video games his whole life. And then he figures out that when he's stoned, he has super cat-like reflexes, kind of like Jackie Chan with the drunken boxing. When he's stoned, he's a good fighter. But when he's not, he's the same just bumbling, clumsy oaf.
Mm.
Oh, cool.
I like it.
Nice.
Stoner Kung Fu. Very rarely do the two get mashed up.
You know, I think...
But I've done it.
I think you're right about that. I don't think I've seen... You don't see that enough. And you've seen it with the booze, but you don't see it with the weed.
Right.
Kevin Kraft with a K, by the way.
Yes.
Like the cheese.
Yep.
So, well, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, as well as Instagram, Angry Hero Sean, S-H-A-W-N is how you spell Sean. And my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
And of course, sideshownetwork.tv is where all of our podcasts are, and you can also find us on iTunes. Of course, you're probably listening to that on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. And please rate and review us and give us some good vibes. Definitely helps us out. So thanks for listening, folks, and we will see you again next time.
Bye.